Hello? Hello, who called in? Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tamara.
Okay, I'm going to try to make it so it doesn't do these announcements of people coming in. Of course, then we won't know when people are calling, but we'll see if we can deal with that. Okay, you still there, Mark?
Yep.
Is anybody else on yet? Okay, well, I started the recording. Did you get a message asking about recording?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Since I'm at home, I had to see if I could remember what the codes were for all of those things.
Like you did.
Yeah, it looks like it was. It's not that hard, it's just I've never really sure. And I know exactly where on my desk I left the sheet of paper that has that stuff, so. So I've got the agenda here for this roundtable, but I actually not read through the whole thing yet.
Coming right up.
Yeah, I know. I have too many things to write, too many things to read.
I resemble that remark.
That must be Don.
It is.
Okay, Don, Scott here too.
Scott.
Howdy.
Hi.
Just jumped in.
Was this Marion?
I didn't, but I just joined in.
Okay, well, we haven't said anything yet, except that I've started the recording.
Yes.
I do have to wait for the second person to call in before the recording will start, so.
Honey.
I hope Frank can call in today. I don't know if he can or not.
Yeah, I'm talking too much.
Or David Blockstein, who was instrumental, my understanding is, in putting together this agenda.
This is for the NRC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did decide that I am heading down. So
oh,
I
you
see
are?
You there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll see you. I'm leaving. Basically, after this call is over, I'm going to the airport.
Yeah. I'm heading down tomorrow afternoon.
So I sent out an email to all of the new NSF Climate Change Education Partner awardees and to all of the NASA new Global Climate Change Education awardees and invited them to join the Climate Literacy Network and submit their project descriptions. And we've had about three or four people added to the Climate Literacy Network
oh,
as a result of that, and a couple of people have submitted project descriptions.
Good.
Excellent.
So, and Frank did send me a list of the NOAA awardees, but I just got that. So I haven't sent that email out yet. And then I also asked Jill Karsten and David Campbell if they could give me the list of the rest of the climate change education awardees, because the CSEPs are only part of what they funded. They funded pieces of other projects, and so
mm-hmm.
we went to the Fastlane website, and we got the list. There's 175 people on this list.
Oh, really?
We had to first go through and take out all of those that are already been engaged, but
well, that's encouraging. There's a lot going on. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anybody else call in yet? Actually, I realized I turned off the chime, so I don't know if people are calling in. I have Mark and Don and Scott and Marion.
Alan Gould here.
Hi, oh. Alan.
Karen Holweg.
Karen.
Margaret Mooney until 12:30.
Okay.
And Tamara, I'm having trouble getting on the URL that you sent. Do we need that today for any reason?
Well, it's just the agenda. You're having trouble getting to the website or getting the document?
Well, I click on it. It asks me to log on. I do it. It says you're not allowed or something like that.
Really? Well, the other way you can get at it is that Frank Niepold, when was it?
Was that Karen?
Karen, actually,
yeah,
Karen,
yeah, you sent it out.
You sent it out.
You sent it out first.
Oh, no, I mean the cleannet.org website. You know, where you put the PowerPoints for presenters when we have a presenter for the conference call.
Oh, well, well, you have to go to the cleannet.org/CLN.
Yeah.
Well, I'm clicking on the link that you sent with today's phone number.
Oh, you know what?
But if we don't need it, don't worry about it. I don't want to.
You know what I did? I copied the developer site.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just take in the URL. There's a /dev. Take that out, and it should work.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I apologize. I keep forgetting that I edit it on one side and I make it live, but then I forget when I copy the URL that I have to copy the Clive one.
That was it.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. All right, so first of all, why don't we go ahead, let's see, let me just make sure I haven't missed anybody. So there's Tamara, Mark, John, Scott, Marion, Alan, Karen, and Margaret. Okay, so...
like a reunion, this is like the old group.
one of the things I will tell everybody is I did disable the entry and exit times, and so we won't hear when people call in. And we won't hear people leave, and so that won't interrupt our discussion. But in the same token, I won't know when more people call in. So.
Yeah.
Well, we heard that. Who just called in? Nobody. Okay. Well, I don't know if we're going to hear. Did anybody just call in? No. Okay. So why don't we go have announcements other than the NRC, which we can discuss after we have the other announcements. Mark, I know that you wanted to say something about the Clean Pathway Portal.
Yes, so we have the Clean Pathway website up in a beta version, cleannet.org, cleannet.org, and what we'd like to do, the official launch is November 1st at the NSDL meeting in Washington and then the GSA meeting in Denver. So we would like to try to seed some of the discussions, and if people would go to the homepage, there's a link to a featured resource, and I have started a little discussion about that resource, but come November 1st, it would be nice if there's more than just my lone posting there. And likewise for the discussion forum, which people can access by going to join the Clean Community, and then there's options for a discussion board. We've got a couple of threads started, but we would ideally like at least a couple more threads and several postings on each thread. So when people that we're presenting this to on and around November 1st look at it, it won't look like just one posting by the same person or four or five by the same person.
Even though we have a person who is very prolific at this.
In any event, that we're asking your help, and I'll also send a note out to the list inviting people to, you know, help us out here during that initial launch phase to just try to get some momentum going. You know, we've all seen these types of discussions go nowhere when there's not enough critical mass, so we'd really very much appreciate your help in getting this launched.
Good.
Okay, thank you. And we can try to get also posted on the telecon agenda so that if people come to look at that, we can put the URL there also. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, so what we can move on. What I was suggesting is that we have a discussion about the NRC Climate Change Education roundtable workshop, which is happening on Thursday and Friday this week. And Karen sent out the URL, and I have posted on the website. She sent out in the email list or a copy of the agenda, and I also posted a copy of the agenda on the Climate Literacy Network webpage for the teleconferences, so people can get can take a look at that. What I thought we might do is kind of go through it. I've not actually read it in great detail yet, and maybe, Don, you have, since you're going to be going also. But the purpose would be to go through the agenda and have a discussion about the various topics that those of us who are going can bring the broader insights of the Climate Literacy Network to this discussion.
Okay.
So, and I know that Frank is going to be giving a presentation there, and I forget which day it is.
Looks like on the 21st.
Right. So this first item here, Goals of Climate Change Education. Does everybody have a document, or should I read this first section?
I have mine up. I have it up.
Okay.
I have it.
Yeah, I have it.
Hey there.
Okay, so it seems that this is first session is basically to explore mechanisms by which people can connect across different fields and different disciplines very broadly, a lot like we're doing in the Climate Literacy Network. Traditionally, people think of interdisciplinary work in the sciences, and they just think about, you know, crossing over from atmospheres to oceans and that kind of interdisciplinary work. And obviously, we all know we're talking about something broader than that. Are there, and you can see who the speakers are. I don't know all of them. I know a few of them, but Frank is one of the speakers.
Yes.
In this session. So, does anybody have any comments about this that they think that we should make points at the meeting?
Well, Tamara, I think the point you just made is certainly something that doesn't seem to be completely reflected in the description there. This sort of, we're talking about integrated sciences, but we're also need to include the social sciences and arts and humanities, some of the things that we've been doing actually in this call. We need to reinforce that there is a huge social dimension to all of this,
mm-hmm.
and this is not just science. And I'm sure there will be a natural tendency to do science there.
And who, this is Caroline. Who just said that?
That's Carly in Seattle.
I just giggled when Tamara said that you interpret interdisciplinary to be atmospheric and earth, and I'm like, that never even crossed my mind, because I'm an educator and I see it for what I think we're trying to do now, and I will be there, and that exactly is my platform, truly meeting people where they are, and that whole affective domain and trying to get them to feel, not just know, is really important. So I'm happy to hear this,
mm-hmm.
and I will speak on that behalf as well.
Good.
Yeah, and I...
Go ahead, Don.
I think, behavior change is a goal I have.
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about it.
And I think talking about it explicitly makes sense.
I was at this past Friday, the University of Massachusetts Lowell had a climate change education teach-in for their students. And one of the issues we discussed there is right along those lines, Don, the idea that making the changes in behavior, making them basically habits of mind and not something that you have to keep thinking about, will make it happen much more effectively. Now, how to make it habits of mind, that's a whole other issue.
Well, you know, I'm going to do a little presentation on to this group in November. It's Caroline again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I did in Miami with tremendous success, and I'm looking to do it at several other levels now, is really use extrinsic motivation to get a desired behavior through school systems and teachers, and watch in a matter of months how it became intrinsic. And so I think sometimes we're afraid to wave the extrinsic hook extract motivation hook, but you know, if you celebrate them, so they're going to listen.
So what kind of extrinsic motivation did you...
Oh, everything from certificates and awards and medals. I mean, just small things, but it's really acknowledgement and celebration of their thoughts, ideas, creativity, and so on around this issue. And I really and truly believe that if our ultimate goal is behavior change and we want it to be intrinsic, every tool we can to get them to that end, let's go. And I knew I found one quite by accident, but scaled it up pretty quickly and, you know, looking for more ways to do just that with good programs. You've got to scale them up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to be there this week, and that's kind of my personal take, and I've been so impressed with this network that I'm a part of, and the true interdisciplinary approach. It's like climate literacy is a web, and how we access the ultimate goal, it's through many access points, and I'm so delighted with the commingling of scientists and researchers and thinkers and storytellers, and I just am happy I found you.
So I understand from the people on the call, so Tamara and Don and Caroline are going to be there. Is anybody else who's on the call going to be there, just so we can get a sense of...
No, but I'm delighted that I'm going to be able to be there virtually.
Yeah, Karen, thanks for figuring that out.
Right. Yeah, I knew they did that last time, but they really had not...
Yeah, I've asked them three times, and I finally registered online thinking, okay, now I'll be able to get information. And so when I got the agenda, I emailed the woman back, and I said, so can we climb on virtually? And she sent me the link. So
I see, okay.
Good. Persistence is paid.
Is it an actual link instead of a phone number?
Yeah, it's a link.
Okay.
I didn't do it yet.
And I know that Frank will also be there. Obviously, he's giving a talk.
I can tell you that Nicole Ardwin from Stanford, who's listed on the first panel with Frank, is a longtime board member and leader in NAAE.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that she's going to be talking about everything from habits of mind and decision-making skills to behavior change kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Nicole? What?
Nicole Ardwin.
Okay.
She's the first speaker.
Right.
So Caroline, we posted the agenda so that you can see it. It's on the web page, and it was also, Karen also sent it out by email, and that's what she's looking at.
Yeah, I had that.
Okay.
Good.
And I was very pleased with what Frank noted in his email. He he got at the things that we've been discussing just in the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
Yeah, and I sent him a note about behavior change as well.
Well, Tamara, back to that question about is there anything you should that we could add? I always think that, you know, it'd be great if we could walk the talk more, whatever that means. So, you know, when we get to conferences, I hate it when I see bottled water or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's worth bringing up again and again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example. You know,
agreed.
You'd have to be there.
I actually mentioned in my note to Frank that of the circles that I mingle in, climate change education folks have the largest carbon footprint of anybody that I hang out with.
Well, and they should be praised for the virtual connection so that we don't all have to travel to get them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But now that I see the agenda, I want to go.
Yeah, right.
Well, you can register and do it virtually.
Yeah, I'm going to. Thanks to Karen.
So this virtual connection, is this going to be visual or just audio?
Apparently there's four PowerPoints, they said.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, so you won't be seeing sort of a camera on the people who are participating there?
No, I think they just see the PowerPoint presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So easy to do, but...
So, and we're only going to have some small group discussions after the presentations where we're going to try to map out how these connections can be made. The next topic that's going to be discussed is mapping current public climate change goals and outcomes to various audiences, and quite appropriately, Tony Leiserwitz is a speaker. And with some others who are panelists. This is, so has everybody seen Tony's report? He sent it out this past week, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
I
actually didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Is this, you mean his report for this NRC workshop or for something else?
No, the report that he did a large-scale survey, but instead, in the past, his Six Americas reports was on people's attitudes towards climate change issues. You know, whether people thought it was happening or how much they trusted the information they had. This particular survey was different. This one was how much science do citizens actually know. So the survey was not what you believe in terms of what you think should be done or whether it's happening, but what science you actually know around climate change.
Okay, so it was the widely circulated report that's been...
Right.
The Yale report.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So, and so he's probably going to give an overview of that, is my guess, but it's one of the issues that I... brought up when the Climate Literacy Network first started was it would be really great to have a baseline, and now I guess we probably do in Tony's report, of where we are so that we know when we're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we're going to be able to tell progress really quickly, but this does give us a baseline. Of course, the group of people also keeps changing, so... I don't know even what would be reasonable time frame for which to do another survey that would be a meaningful difference in 5 years. In 5 years, it's probably a whole different population of people.
I was thinking it'd be interesting to do the same survey in different parts of the country. Because what did he have? His N was like 1,000 or 1,100, mm-hmm. which is great.
He
very
probably
small.
Could parse it out that way.
We could. Right? I mean...
Yeah.
We've got the organization. I think it'd be great to see that multiplied.
Well, different parts of the country and different age groups and different backgrounds. And I mean, they've done some of that in the past, looking at evangelicals and, folks in different regions. So obviously this is a great start, but there's a lot more that needs to be.
Do you think that Tony actually gathered the information to be able to parse that out of the data he has?
Yeah, but again, the N is so small.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe what we should do is we should get Tony to actually give a more complete overview of his report and how he did the survey so we can brainstorm how we might be able to do a next step or suggest to him.
Yeah, ask him.
Well, he's probably thinking about it. I mean, he wouldn't have done this without thinking, well, all right, what else can I find on a larger scale? So I think we should say we want to help with that and what kind of numbers can we add to the next level of this, rather than assume he's not thinking like us? Because I don't know the man, but one would hope.
He gave a talk on the Six Americas report to the Climate Literacy Network, what, about a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
so, and he's going to be there, so I will, I'll ask him.
Ask him what's next.
No.
And then let's take over.
What's next? And he'll give a talk on our call so that we can sort of because we can help give him some feedback into what we think should be next.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. He actually used the Climate Literacy Network in that. Mark, did you realize that we're acknowledged in there?
I saw that. Yeah.
We had a telecom when they were putting together the questions. Mark and I, and I think maybe Frank, was on a teleconference with them, sort of going over some of the questions and suggesting other questions that they might ask.
Yeah, I was very pleased that they included some that were really trying to drill into the carbon cycle and the heat trapping properties and CO2 and so forth. So
Tony does value input from this larger group. He's been on this telecon a number of times, and he's given a talk once.
I look forward to hearing him.
So, yes, he'll be there. So are there any other thoughts about the public climate change goals? Okay, well, those are the two topics that are going to be discussed on the first day. After the presentations, there's small group discussions where I think we're going to be coming out with reports at the end of this. The third day, the third session, the second day, implications of audience segmentation for educational strategies and research. David Blockstein is moderator for the panel for this. Do you have a sense of, I'm just reading this myself for the first time, do you have a sense of what is meant by audience segmentation?
If you look at the background papers, they range all the way from Kevin Coyle, who's doing one on sportsmen and religious groups and those kinds of segments.
Oh, so different community, different kinds of communities.
Yeah. That's my assessment.
Isn't that a topic that should be really integrated with the previous one?
Well, it's funny. It's almost like the opposite of the previous one. You know, now let's see how we can address
separate
people separately.
You know, that's actually quite important. There was an article in the, this is Alan Gould, there was an article in the New York Times that I saw this morning.
Yep.
About Kansas, a group approaching people in Kansas and getting them to do behavior change, aiming towards that, but not mentioning climate change at all, because that is just, that just turns everybody off in that setting, and it probably does in many settings. Mm-hmm. So you can accomplish the same result without even talking about climate change. They were dealing with, well, we've talked about this before, they were dealing with things like efficient energy use, health
right.
of people, all of that stuff that
American
it has something to do with climate change, of course, but you don't have to say climate change.
Which is annoying, but if it's the reality, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, one way you can address it, and I was noticing this at the climate change teach-in at the University of Massachusetts Lowell last Friday, where it's a very regional effort. The way to engage the students in the campus is what impacts me and my community, and you don't actually have to use the word climate change. Climate implies much larger scale. And so you can, when you're talking about environmental changes that impact your house, you can get people really engaged. I know there's very active groups in Somerville and around the University of Massachusetts Lowell which are charging forward, and their focus is very, very local, and I think that that's probably one of the avenues for this addressing audience segmentation is identifying the kinds of impacts will be in the environment of those segments of the communities and addressing those particular issues.
You know, I was wondering, I was really struck by this one, I don't know who this person is, Greg Hitzhusen, but I was struck by the organization Ohio Interfaith Power and Light. What is that, you know?
We have one here in Washington, too.
What is power and light? Is it the mighty coming down, or is it like...
It's the utility.
I'm going to have to sit next to you, Caroline.
Okay, I have to tell you, I actually think this is their way of approaching it interdisciplinarily. In other words, they want to meet them where they are and looking for different access points to climate change, if we can use that term. And it's like what I just said earlier. So when I created that Fairchild Challenge thing, I wrote an article how it ended up being science by stealth, because yes. we had all of these art and English and history teachers doing science and not even knowing they were doing it. And I don't care what hook it takes to get them engaged, it's going to end up in the right place. But we got to hook them somehow. And maybe this session is about that, access points to engage these clusters.
Yeah, I just pulled up the Ohio Interfaith Power and Light website, and it's interesting. I'll just read you the sentence-long introduction here. Ohio Interfaith Power and Light is an affiliate of the Regeneration Project's National Interfaith Power and Light Campaign. Our mission is to empower a religious response to climate change and to promote energy conservation, energy efficiency, and renewable energy. We focus on tangible results in religious communities, putting our faith into action. Guess I was more than a sentence.
So it's not a power company.
Right.
No, it's an NGO. When I was working on climate change stuff in the Washington legislation, that was one of the groups. There's a Washington affiliate of this group, and they were great allies in all this, in recognizing that communities of faith had a stake in all of this. So they were very strong. So it's good to know that it's a national movement, not just based in our state.
Yes, and here in Boulder, there are a couple of churches that are real leaders in all sorts of alternative energy and household behavior change, and with, as you might expect from a religious community, all sorts of family, personal support group kinds of functions going.
Yep. That's good.
I know that in previous meetings, I know that at least Roberta Johnson has been involved with her faith group in addition to her science education activities. Are any of the rest of you involved in your faith groups in terms of addressing this issue?
I'm not involved. This is Caroline. I support, whenever possible, a local group called Fuse, F-U-S-E, and they seem to like to play on that electricity stuff. Anyway, it's Faith United for Sustainable Energy, and really it's an interesting idea, and I think it has potential, so I kind of I kind of circle around them and keep them going a little bit.
Good.
Yeah, I know of some things going on around here, but I'm a heathen, so...
Yes, it's hard. It's tough.
Hey, welcome, everyone. Yeah.
No, but you see, if we can't do it, we got to celebrate those who can. Cause,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Right.
I know the Presbytery of Western New York has done some low-carbon diet stuff, and there is an interfaith council that's also been involved with some of that.
I'd like to throw in a note. Jerry Barney edited the Global 2000 reports under the Carter administration. I realize that was quite a while ago, but Jerry Barney is still around, and he was recognizing with environmental issues a long time ago that the churches were not addressing those kinds of things, but that they were key in understanding the values that were pertinent to living sustainably.
Yep.
So his goal, when we even entered this century, was to address the religious leaders of the world, to have them describe the position that their religions take in addressing environmental concerns. What I'd like you to know is, at this stage of the game, Jerry can just not retire. And he has started a group called Our Task. And so he's working with students that I think are at the undergraduate level, and he's in Washington, D.C. area. So if anyone wanted to hook on to what he's doing, I think he is a brilliant person and has been around a long time and operates in this sphere. He happens to be a physicist. He's a scientist. But he realized that religion was the root of a lot of the change that we're trying to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Yeah.
So, and was this Karen? Who was just talking?
Yeah. That was Jane. Jane Heinz Frey.
Oh, okay. Actually, I should ask again, anybody who didn't mention their name earlier and has called in since?
Louise Huffman. Hi. Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
Louise.
Well, what I suggest is those, and I'll ask Frank also, for those of us that are going to be there or listening in, next week would be really it would be really good if we basically debrief on how the discussion at the roundtable and sort of share with everybody the outcomes. So Caroline and Don, you should be prepared to sort of give your impressions of what was discussed and what were the important points that came out. And if there is a report to share, I'll make sure. I think that they're supposed to, I don't know if they'll come out with a report to share right away, but there usually is one eventually. There was last time, but it was a few weeks later when they pulled together all the notes.
Mm-hmm. That would be great, Tamara.
So Marion, why don't you put on the agenda for next week that, well, since David Blockstein has postponed his talk, we'll have a debrief on the NRC roundtable.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are there any other comments about this or other things that people would like to discuss?
I did send a note off to the folks at Push Buffalo and Massachusetts Avenue Project and got a note back that from the woman at Massachusetts Avenue Project that she would be glad to speak to the group at some point, but not until January. So I told her I'd get back to her with possible dates.
And just put down on the future one talks these two groups and
I think we can probably get them both together on the same call.
Okay. Can you send me an email with the names of the groups and the and the approximate time?
Yeah.
Marion underscore Grogan at terp.edu.
Okay.
Okay, great. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I did send an email out to the newly funded NSF and NASA projects, climate change education projects, to join the Climate Literacy Network and propose their descriptions. So if you know of other projects that aren't captured by those groups, I do have a list from Frank on for the NOAA Environmental Literacy Projects that I will try to get an email out to. But we want to invite everybody who's been recently funded to submit a project description and join the discussion.
I almost forgot, Tamara, this is Karen, but I wanted just to mention, not to discuss this week necessarily, but just to mention so people might start thinking, that there may be an opportunity for us to submit for an invited panel at the NAAEE conference next year,
mm-hmm.
And I know they've already organized a panel of scientists for that conference. Fall of 2011.
On climate change or more general?
Scientists on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's primarily ocean scientists because we're going to be somewhere near the coast, I think. But this morning's discussion made me think that there might be an interesting angle to take for a panel that would explore the, as you put it, diverse kinds of interdisciplinary connections that are important in environmental education for real climate change education. So if people could be thinking about that, maybe at some future call we can have a discussion of that.
I think that's a great idea. I think you've mentioned this before. If you can give us a time frame, I think that it's a great idea for us to try to do that and engage these very diverse communities. Okay. Margaret, do you want to just mention what we're going to be doing at the ESA Federation meeting in January?
She might be gone. I think she's the one that said she was...
Oh, she had to leave at 12:30. Okay. So I will mention it. The Federation of Earth Science Information Partners, which Margaret and I are both members of, last year we used the Climate Literacy Network to organize a strand of discussions. The theme of the meeting was decision-making, responsible decision-making, and we organized a breakout strand around climate change, but addressed from different perspectives. So we had an architect there, a green architect, and I forget the other. There was an array. We had six sessions, and this time we are going to, we've proposed to the ESA Federation to start a climate change education working group. This organization has lots of scientists, and they can really provide a venue for providing scientific input and vetting to the kinds of activities that all of us are being part of. And I proposed that this climate change education work group be formed to provide that, to provide the framework that we can use to pursue taking advantage of the science expertise there. And their January meeting, we're going to have a panel addressing this and basically kicking off the work group. And so that's going to happen in early January. If anybody is interested in participating, at least coming to the meeting, I think the panel, we're going to be having a discussion. I think the panelists have already been identified. Anyway, so that's just to let everybody know. That's in early January. Okay, if there's nothing else, then we will plan to talk again next week.
Okay, and I look forward to meeting in face-to-face those of you that will be there this week.
Yes, yep. I look forward to meeting you too.
Given that this is an old-timers week with a lot of old-timers on the call, has anybody heard recently from Dan?
Dan Barstow. I hear from him occasionally. He is on the advisory board of two of my projects. He is very, very busy. He called into the telecon for one of the projects, but he called in of the 3 hours. He called in for the first hour and the last hour. So I do hear from him occasionally, but
he's doing well. But
he's doing well. Yes, he is. And I actually saw him. I think I last saw him at the NSTA meeting.
Thanks.
Good.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.